Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I wish to express appreciation for your leadership at the conference, the steps you have taken to keep the momentum of the discussions, particularly your invitation for written commentaries on possible consensus recommendations on a normative and operational framework on laws, and the subsequent informal consultations that you convened are truly commendable. I take the floor on behalf of high contracting parties that submitted a joint working paper in response to your invitation, namely the Philippines, Costa Rica, Panama, Peru, Sierra Leone, and Uruguay, as well as El Salvador and Palestine that now endorse this paper. We invite this group to recall an important premise of our work. This convention is a pillar of global efforts to limit warfare in order to protect humanity from indiscriminate destruction and superfluous suffering. At its heart is the shared recognition of our common humanity and the inherent dignity of all human lives, and of their protection as a legal, ethical, and moral imperative. Over the years, building on the principles of customary international law and international humanitarian law, this convention has addressed or mitigated threats from technological advances in weaponry, including those that have yet to become widely available. This has led to the adoption and implementation of its various protocols that prohibit and restrict various conventional weapons. Today, we are seeing rapid advances in technology, including in the area of artificial intelligence. Used correctly, these advances could propel us towards sustainable and peaceful development, and therefore improve the lives of many. At the same time, they could also be used to develop autonomous weapon systems that threaten to displace humans from their traditional role in decision-making with regard to the use of force. Such weaponization of advanced technologies entail various potential challenges, and in the spirit of this agenda item, I wish to enumerate some of them. First, systems that target, engage, and apply force inter alia in deciding on the life or death of human beings, including the use of target profiles to identify and use force against humans, present ethical and moral challenges that transcend the legal framework under international humanitarian law. Allowing artificial intelligence or autonomous technologies to acquire such control and subjecting human lives to such control would devalue human life and undermine respect for human dignity. Second, the potential weaponization of advanced autonomous technologies, including artificial intelligence, through the development of fully autonomous weapon systems could pose unpredictability and lead to lack of foreseeability, reliability, oversight, and explainability of weapon systems. Such technological developments could also be difficult to reverse at a later stage. These, in turn, could complicate efforts to comply with international humanitarian law. Third, civilian protection is eroded by systems that target people or those that cannot be effectively controlled. Remoteness and autonomy risk lowering thresholds against the use of force. Fourth, weapon systems are not neutral. Algorithm-based programming relies on datasets that can perpetuate or amplify social biases, including racial and gender bias, and thus have implications for compliance with international law, including international human rights law. Fifth, autonomous weapon systems could lead to a vacuum in accountability. Artificial intelligence has no agency and moral obligations. Only humans could be held accountable and responsible for the use of force under international law. The development of laws, therefore, could complicate efforts to implement international criminal law. Sixth, autonomy invites more autonomy. The development of laws could change the current strategic landscape and lead to an arms race and therefore undermine strategic stability, increase existing strategic inequalities, and further erode international peace and security. These threats could also be exacerbated by cyber attacks. Lastly, states already endeavor to exercise responsible behavior in terms of governing the development of technologies, including advanced weapon systems. Such responsible behavior, however, is absent in armed non-state actors. Without proper safeguards, therefore, the development of advanced technologies could lead to acquisition and proliferation of advanced weaponries by armed non-state actors. Mr. President, Sufficiently addressing these challenges will uphold the spirit that brought high contracting parties to come together and enact this convention and render the conventional and humanitarian disarmament architecture future-proof. Our delegations believe that these challenges could be addressed through a robust normative and operational framework institutionalized through a legally binding protocol under this convention. We have proposed elements of this framework in the joint working paper that we have submitted in June. Thank you, Mr. President.